Okay, I'm reloaded. What movie is that from?
That's not a movie, though.
Were you doing a robot?
No, it's not a robot. Welcome to MZBC, the podcast for August the 8th, 2024.
August?
April 8th, 2024. Was I doing a robot? No, that was, I don't know whose voice that was. It was Tony Montana from Scarface.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you shouldn't watch that show. It's a bad show. But joined by our co-host, Manuel Griffin.
What's up?
What are you? An accountant to the stars. Not yet?
I don't have any stars on the books. That'll be nice.
I mean, that's what you want, right? That's the goal.
One day, that's the goal.
Accountant to the stars.
That'll be nice.
If you're balancing checkbooks like Shohei Ohtani's, you know.
Not right now. He's in a... It's a little shaky right now.
I don't know.
Give me Shaq and we're good.
Yeah, there you go. Or who's the other gentleman that invests in a bunch of stuff, has all the businesses? Basketball players are like really entrepreneurial minded. NBA players,
I would say.
A lot of them have like
the older ones.
Magic Johnson has all the theaters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other things, but he has all the theaters.
What else?
Yeah. Well, you know, he has some things. Oh. Well, joined by Sandy Stray, our worship leader.
What's up?
What's up? How was your... Sandy just returned from the beautiful shores of Orange Beach, Alabama.
It's Gulf.
Gulf Shores, Alabama? Y'all weren't in Orange Beach?
No.
Oh, Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, okay, Gulf Shores is right here, Orange Beach is right there. It's literally, you can walk down the beach and, now we're on Orange Beach. And then
asked the question, and I was like, aren't they just the same waters?
Absolutely. So what was your favorite part of the weekend? The beach is... Scratch that. What was your favorite part?
The beach is not my favorite.
The beach wasn't your favorite. Is your beach your favorite ever?
No.
Oh, okay. So then there you go.
Actually, my name doesn't live up to it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You totally don't match.
Nope. But my favorite part of this weekend? It was great. It was Mandy made me laugh until I cried like two times.
Wow.
The whole weekend. It was great. It's one of those moments you had to be there.
You can't retell it. It won't be good.
Because it won't be fun.
But I was like crying. So, it was hilarious.
Well, Heather had one of those moments, I guess, with some video of a postal truck in Allie's front yard, like on their Ring cam.
Huh.
And she was showing it to me, and while it was very funny, like it wasn't, it's what you're saying, like to be there, like be in it. It was one of those moments. So I heard everything. I've heard has been good. Everybody had a great time. Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, we got to get a men's retreat.
Retreat.
We haven't had one since probably.
I know I went on one, and that was a long.
Wait, where did you went to the one in the up the mountains?
Lamar's.
Yeah. Oh,
here's a question though.
But I wasn't.
So 10 years.
I'm still a young boy.
10 years, you think, right?
Was it 10? It might have been.
8 to 10. Here's a question.
I was talking about it with Nara. He was like, I don't know if men would actually want to go, at least married men, they don't want to go on retreats because, in his opinion, he was like, I don't want to go and do something, experience something without my wife. The only person, like, if I'm going to experience, pay money to experience something, I want to do it with my wife. And then I was like, I think that's just a youth.
Well, I think that guys' retreats and girls' retreats are different.
It's a little different.
Yeah. We don't go to the beach and go ice cream and hanging out.
Yes.
We go to the woods, usually, right? And like in a cabin, around a big fire and stuff. Like, you just talk. We went whitewater rafting that one time.
Yeah, whitewater rafting.
But it's not like, we're not experiencing life without our wives.
That's what I told him. Yeah. But
he's thinking about that too much.
It's too deep.
He's taking it way too deep. Yeah,
I mean.
We're not going to.
And it's only like a weekend, usually.
Yeah, I think now.
You can't keep all these men together too long.
I think now that you could probably have a hard time getting people to go away from one day. Like,
there's
so many responsibilities and stuff, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, so we were thinking, honestly, Friday, early, or when people get into Saturday. That'd be the only time we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have a property. We don't have a property. We have someone here that has a property and has offered to do it there. And it was fun when we did it. We just got to get it together. All I got to do is plan it.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, always. Always. But everything was good. Easter has happened since we met, right? Since we've been on here. That was an amazing weekend. We had a huge number of people that I was so thankful for. And everything went well. I love when everything just goes well in church, whether it's the music and the preaching went well. I can't judge myself. But I didn't do it by myself, so we shared it. And I really liked the way we shared that part. Unfortunately, one of the speakers got sick that week and couldn't speak, but it was fine. It was an easier part.
Because I thought he meant speakers, like the speakers. Because that also was sick that day.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was there was an actual speaker sick that day. It was making this high pitch.
I heard that.
Yeah, laugh okay. out loud.
That pitch is, that noise is gone now. They got rid of that. You know that we know they did to fix that. Plugged in the thing that was plugged in that outlet over there in that outlet. That's all they did different. That's crazy.
That's the building board.
That's crazy.
That's the building board.
Yeah.
How long has the building been there?
Yeah, like 34 years. 80, around the 80s somewhere. Yeah, see, so got to plug in the right plugs.
You got to make sure you plug
in
the right.
But Easter was awesome. And just everyone hanging out with their families and dressed that's up and all that. There were people here that I haven't seen in a while. And there were other people that come here every week, but actually brought their extended family. Younger people brought their moms, dads, sisters, their kids. It was really cool. So I was encouraged and reminded of the reach of Mount Zion, I think. Like I said this on Sunday, but it just goes far beyond our walls. And so on the moments like Sunday when there was 100 less people in church, I had to remind myself, like, it's beyond this.
It's more than just
the people in this room.
I get that.
So I asked our question before we started, Emmanuel. Do you feel worse when your parents are disappointed in you or when they're angry at you?
Do I feel worse when they're disappointed or angry? More probably in the moment, angry, but at the long term when they're disappointed. Because I think at disappointment, I get the time to sit back and ponder.
Ponder.
That's not the word I want to use. But
reflect.
I like that word.
Yeah.
I learned a new word.
Okay.
Pontificate.
To pontificate on what something? Yeah, it means like to. It means to pontificate on it. Like, expand on your thoughts. Whoa. Like, to elaborate on it, right?
Okay. Am I
right?
To ponder, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, pontificate. Why did you learn that?
In the women's retreat, we're doing a Mad Lib, and they had to give me a verb. Someone said pontificate? Someone said pontificate, and I was like, what does that mean?
Women's retreat.
Yeah.
Women's retreat.
We learn things.
Whoa. Anyway,
11-letter word. There's no I won't knock all the guys, but yeah, there's not a lot of 11-letter words coming out of us.
But I think I'm more aware as far as when I'm able to sit back and say, what is causing this reaction from said parent? So I would say when they're disappointed, it's like, that one stings a little bit more.
I would for sure say disappointed. Like, I would not want someone to be disappointed. You can be mad at me all day.
I can say I'm sorry. We can keep moving.
I mean, get over that. You're mad at me. But disappointed is like, man, there was like a standard and I didn't achieve it. And, you know, it's rough. Star said that she could care less about the disappointment and hated the angry part. Like, because she said the angry, it's demonstrated. The disappointment is just like, oh man, they let me down. You might not know it. You think it's the other way.
The disappointment is like, I know you messed up. May not say anything to you. Just body language is like,
yeah.
Talk to me, man. But I get that. I get that.
What are you, Sandy?
Disappointment.
Disappointment. Yeah.
Hurts more.
Stings. Feel it.
What reasons? Like same.
What reasons?
Yeah. Like, why does it hurt more than someone being mad at you?
I think it's because I try hard to, like, make my parents proud of me. So if I disappoint them, then it's like I'm failing. And then they can be mad at me, like you said, all they want. And
yeah.
I just be like, whatever. I'm a rebel. Yeah. I was a rebel child, so I always made the mat.
Gotcha.
But disappointment would sting a little more.
Mm. When being a rebellious child, if someone gets mad at you, you're like, okay, you're mad now? Watch this. We take it up a notch. I'm asking that, and I've been pondering so many things today. I had to leave the office this morning, just because I knew I wasn't a joyful person to be around. It's Monday morning. Sometimes you know about yourself. So I went and found other things to do on campus that needed to be done, that I didn't have to be around people. And I was just thinking and praying, and I read a couple of scriptures, and it was I'm thinking about God and how we are called to such a holy standard. And I was reflecting on that scripture that says if you heal people but you don't do it with love, if you speak in tongues but you don't do it in love, if you do all those things but you don't do it in love, then you're nothing more than a clanging cymbal. And so I asked Sandy when I walked in, I asked Sean this morning also, am I a clanging cymbal to people? Like, Are they so sick of hearing like the cry to help, the cry to pursue, the cry to that? But they both gave me the answer, but no, you're doing it in love. And I'm like, yeah. But what if someone thought something different than I thought?
Right.
And they were doing it in love. And I was just like, dude, you are no. Leave me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just I'm not saying I'm right or wrong in my thoughts or whatever. I'm just thinking. That's what the podcast is for, right?
Yeah, I hope, for sure.
I hope. If someone judges me on that, then stop listening. But we're just trying to we're trying to get them all.
Get out of here.
But I'm just trying to figure it out. Because I'm in my, at the root of everything that Russell is, I just want to be someone that doesn't disappoint God.
Yeah,
and you know, and it's like, man, it's such a high call to be the shepherd of people. It's weird. I guess weird is not the word, because God ordained it. So it's not weird. It's interesting. It's peculiar. Yeah, uncomfortable is a good word. But it's just, I want to make sure that I'm not letting you down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm making sure that I have instilled in you standards that God told me that when you were 12, when we hung out, that you remember to this day, right?
Yeah.
And if there's something that I am, like, over people and I'm not making sure they're getting that, then, man, that's different, because you get to walk away and you're not responsible for Sandy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, technically, we're the body of Christ, brothers,
right,
sisters.
Right.
We are iron sharpens iron, and we can. But there's just a different calling. So, and I'm not complaining. Please don't hear me complaining. I'm just trying to figure it out, because I just want to do it in a way that is the right way.
Yeah.
And I don't want to feel bad for. I don't want to feel bad for nothing.
that's a valid point.
I don't want to walk in on a Monday and just feel bad because of a number on Sunday when the word went out with boldness and confidence. And you saw my grandma. I mean, it was awesome. We were joking before.
Shout out,
Miss Carolyn. Thank you, Grandma. I love
shout
you.
Out.
I tell you what, if everyone thought like my grandma, y'all could not have kept me. They would have hired me somewhere else. But, like, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have responded to the message from Sunday through text and through phone calls. Easter's message, people texted me and responded. God is speaking and doing it. And so what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to get Russell out of the way because I'm almost messing up my mentals on, like, thanks God, it's not even, I don't know. I'm trying to process all that.
Do you think, like a literal shepherd, when they're shepherding the actual sheep, do you think they ever get disappointed in their sheep?
That's deep.
No, because they're dumb sheep. They don't know anything. Oh,
no. Not that.
That was. I don't think that's.
I mean, if you think about it, I don't know if shepherds ever really be like, "Oh, that sheep over there. Ugh, let me go get him."
I gotta show him where the water is again. He didn't remember from last time.
He lost the pond.
Bring him back.
Yeah,
it's true, and I think that's a good thought. I like that thought. You got my brain working now. The only thing I think about that is, like, I'm just as – I said they're not smart. So I'm not as smart as the sheep also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Human, right?
Yeah. I think
Jesus is our shepherd.
I think lost is the better word instead of dumb.
Smart, dumb, lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just said not smart. I didn't say dumb, did I?
You did say dumb. I think you said dumb.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, they're not smart and they're lost.
There we go.
Interesting thought, though. Yeah, so I don't know. Are they ever disappointed in? They couldn't be.
I think they do, if you're talking from a shepherd and sheep standpoint. I think they do their job as far as shepherding the flock. Okay, I've put up a fence around you. I've given you everything you need to do or you need. You're all your necessities. I'm here, but I'm not in your face. Therefore, he doesn't have to be, as the shepherd, hey, where's that little lamb? Let me go.
Okay.
Go back.
I like this train of thought, though, because I was almost walking down this road last week, and they told me not to go down that road, which I agreed with them, though. I'm living, okay, the gate's there, baby.
Yeah.
There's your food.
Yeah.
There's your water. And you don't walk to it. Now, I'm supposed to come take you to it. Because I was waiting on you to come tell me, hey, I'm thirsty. And I'd be like, oh, we got plenty of water right over here. And what I was told in very much good wisdom last week was like, hey, why don't you just go tell them there's the water? Like, go over there. And so I did that twice last week with some things that were like, I thought I had led people to water, but it was just in the vicinity. They didn't know it was there. And I did that twice last week and said, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
Like, will you just pray about going and drink that water? And that's what they're doing now. So, yeah, I get it. I mean.
But I think at the same time, with you telling, hey, there is the water, you have to be okay with saying, hey, there is the water. And that sheep says, I'm not thirsty. And then goes away. And then it's like, as the person saying, hey, there's the water, I know you're thirsty. I know you are. But you keep telling me you're not, and you're walking away from it. It's like,
yeah,
I can't. You're gonna drive yourself mad trying to pull a non-thirsty sheep to water that they don't want.
I love that. But what about if the okay? I love this. But what about if the sheep doesn't drink water, then the whole flock dies?
Hmm.
Like, you're the sheep that protects us. Like, you're the sheep that is like our leader. You're the funny sheep. You keep us chill. Whatever. If you die, we all die. I'm not saying that that's that serious, but I'm just saying I wish more people saw the importance of their one little spot. And, like, dude, if you saw the potential God has in you, and I'm nobody, and I didn't see what he had in me either, but now I see it, if I could just get you to get a glimpse of that, it would just be so much better. And I don't even know what better means, because we would still be broken and still be struggling, but better in the regard that I would feel like, man, oh, you're leading them towards spiritual growth. Like, that was a, and I see that all over the place. And I told Sandy before you got here, it's literally like pockets here and there. The majority is that's what I see. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm so perplexed, I guess. Yeah. That's why I'm so, because it's like you see the spiritual things happening here and there and Easter and the retreats and people are growing, stepping up and doing. But then there's like, man, special people in my life that I'm just like, dude, what do we do? Do we get it or do we not get it? And so, I don't know. That's just, I guess that's just a probably every pastor in the world has thought these same silly thoughts. And they had worship leaders tell them just.
Yeah.
The shepherds even care about the sheep?
hit you with that question.
Yeah.
I think for your position, for sure, it's hard to go from.
Well, let's go this. What would you do if you were in my position and your sheep didn't go drink the water? What would you do?
Probably drive myself mad. You would drink the water. No. That's. I think that's hard to.
Yeah.
Really hard. Really hard to answer, honestly, because I know how persistent I can be.
Yeah.
And then after a while, persistence becomes like, okay, you're getting annoying. And I, being the one persistent, is like, okay, it may be a little annoying, but let me make sure.
Yeah.
So, I can understand where it could be difficult and. I don't know how I would do
it. Yeah. I don't think anyone does. That wasn't a question I don't think you can answer, but it's just like, you know, thinking about it.
Maybe that sheep just not thirsty.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's going to sound very, very rough.
Okay.
But sometimes you got to let the sheep fall into the pit.
Okay.
So that the flock can understand, see what happens when you don't drink the water or you don't come to the water.
Okay.
It is that dangerous out there. It is,
man,
possible.
Jimmy looks dizzy and like he's about to fall out. He
ain't drinking water. The water trough's right there. All you got to do is drink it. But I mean, it's comical, but
yeah,
that's a fact. Sometimes you got to be like, hey,
they're just an
okay. Okay.
I've done everything I can.
Okay.
I've led you. I've pointed you. I've even brought you a cup. You've said you've gone as far as throwing the cup out of my hand.
Yeah.
I can't. Like,
what do you think, Sandy? In that on that down that road.
What was the road?
Let them fall in front of the whole flock so they see. Look.
I mean,
it may not be the whole flock. Maybe a portion of the flock. Just the pocket.
Okay, just maybe just a couple, and they'll spread the word. You should have saw what happened.
See what happened. Yeah.
I mean.
It's great.
In my flesh, that's what I want.
Okay.
I would
that
be
was
like
a fleshly answer.
Yes.
He said it was gonna be rough.
Yeah. So in my flesh, my humanness, mm-hmm. I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
Watch this.
But I don't know if that's what we are supposed to do.
Right.
What we're called
facts.
To do.
Yeah. And that's where the struggle comes.
Because I'm reminded, because we talked about this story in the women's retreat.
It was a good time.
When
man, what are we doing?
But it was the story of Jesus, and he went to rest on the boat with his disciples because they were just doing all these miracles and performing all these things for all these people, and Jesus just needed to go rest. So he went on a boat in the middle of that's the only way he could escape all these people that were following him, because you know they wanted to be healed, so they were following him. And then I think the disciples had saw Jesus was asleep, and they were like, "Hey, Jesus, why are you sleeping?" or something like mm-hmm. that, if I'm remembering correctly. And 'cause in my head it was like, these disciples just saw everything that Jesus did, and it's like, you can't give the man like a minute of sleep. Like, did you know what I mean?
This is when he calls the storm. They woke him up because the storm was coming, right?
Yeah. And he was like, "Hey, come on, help! Yeah. Wake up! There's a storm coming." But they just witnessed all of the miracles that he just did, and then they didn't have faith that, you know what I mean?
That's the first thing he said too. Yeah.
Like, yeah. They had so little faith after they just saw all of the things he just did.
Right.
And they were like, "Lord, help me." You know what I mean? I don't know if that even makes sense to the sheep analogy we were talking about, but does it?
I think me and Emmanuel can make it.
Yeah, we can make it.
Help me tie back.
So, I mean, if I'm thinking about that story, yes, they saw. That's the point of like a lot of in the Gospels, right? They saw all those things, but mm-hmm. then when they saw the storm coming, they went back to like, they didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
Can Jesus do this? Can he? And mm-hmm. I guess that's where I'm at. Like, can Jesus really reach this sheep that doesn't want to drink the water when I've seen him take sheep that didn't even know they wanted to drink water and make them drink water? Mm-hmm. I've seen him make me drink water. I've bragged lately about, well, that sounds weird, but I've been proud lately about like everyone in my family is born again, so I've been making sure that's known. And then moments come where things don't go the way I think, or there's a...
Then the storm comes.
I think I was going with, like, Jesus still did it. Like, Jesus still showed them, okay, fine, I'll calm the storm. And, like, still had to prove himself to his disciples. And I think I was like, oh, the sheep, when the sheep gets straight away lost into the pit, and then the shepherd has to still,
he's, you know, still gonna come.
He's still gonna go and get him. Like, I just did all these things for you, and
I just built your gate, gave you the water, put your grain, showed you
it all. You still fell in the pit, and guess who's here?
I think that's where I was going.
I got you. That,
like, instead of the humanness, me want you to be like, "Ha, you're in the pit." Jesus still like,
I didn't say ha.
All right.
Yeah. And I think that's where I am. Like, we have said before on staff, the best thing that we could do, like, on a Sunday is show up and, like, something not be clean or the grass not be cut so that you could see, like, look, we need your help for real.
Yeah.
But we can't because when people show up, it has to be – if we're presenting God, like, so I will always make sure that hopefully it's clean and whatever. And so you can't do that. And so I think I'm at that where I can't, like, necessarily let people fall flat on their face in front of others just to prove a point. And I think that's what hurts so bad.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, what I want to do to you is let you just fall. Because, you know, you deserve it. But what God has called me to do is to show you one more time. One more time.
Eventually, that's growth, though.
That's like growth.
You said
in both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In both.
And that's where
yeah,
we're growing so every day. That's what we're supposed to do.
You told me earlier, you're not supposed to figure it out. So I mean, you might be right. This goes right along with the scripture, and we didn't even like have too much time to plan. Coming up on our next podcast, hopefully we're going to start a new segment called Legacy Talks. Do you like that?
I like that.
Or do you like Wisdom?
I'm a
Legacy Talks guy, too. Thank you. 2 out of 3. Got it.
So, I didn't want
to. So, Legacy Talks from Miss Esther Hamilton, Dr. Esther Hamilton.
She sure is a doctor.
Yeah, so she had an emergency come up today, which she had to go to take care of. But she will be on the next one with us, and it's exactly that, Legacy Talks. Like, tell us about your legacy. You have one. Where did faith come in? How did it work out in your life? She's raised kids to be good kids. She has a husband for many, 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 many years. They've been married, and I couldn't tell you the exact number.
Sorry,
I don't know, but it's a lot. So they, really cool example, and I think that the more you can get wisdom in the room, better than us.
A cool example of how she stayed diligent in the calling.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, how did you stay diligent to that? You know, Miss Esther is one, I'll save it for that week, but she's one of those people that's like, pray, give it to God, and like she'll move on, like just and let God do His thing. And it's a hard thing for Pastor Russell to learn because I'm with her on that up until a point that I'm like, I gotta do all this for me.
But we can save, back and think it again.
We can save that when she's here because I'm sure she'll have. And there's some cool stories that she's just called me out on in the middle of Bible study that we can talk about, too. Good stuff. But in 2 Peter, we started this week, and we started talking about these 7 traits that are listed in here that what we came up with was 7 traits of excellence. And that's because we're always trying to present excellence in everything we do, whether it's a song, whether it's the sermon, cleaning, whatever. And in this first section of Second Peter, he rattles off seven things that if we're diligent to do these things, he says that you will never fall. And so I'm going to read those things real quick. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, he said, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. These writers were just something else, bro.
Poets, man. Poets.
How did they just write this? Because basically he just said, because Jesus saved you, you can avoid all this evil stuff in the world. And he just said it in a much more elegant.
Yeah, way nicer than you just
said. It was so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, he was just rocking. So verse 5, for this very reason, he said, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and your virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. He says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. He says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. So, like, yeah, just go live out those things.
You live those things, you have a perfect recipe for success.
I love that he says if you do all these things in verse 8, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge, not necessarily in, like, anything you do. Hmm. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can't even, you're ineffective in even being able to learn about him, and you're not producing any fruit. I just thought that was interesting, though. You can't even begin to grow until you start applying these to your life. The first thing that pops out to me is progression in these things. It's like a progression.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like you said, the elegance in which it's written, I think, adds into the effectiveness of the verses. Like you said, if you possess these, you can and pretty much have a recipe for success. Now, like you said, that knowledge, I think we humans, or I'll speak for a male, I think it's like, okay, if I possess these things, my action is going to be A1 on point. I'm good. But in reality, that may not always be the case, but more so the mental knowledge, I guess, not necessarily the physical part of it. That's where you see it. That's where you're like, oh man. When you remember back a couple weeks ago, you weren't as far advanced as you are now. Now you're able to fight that whatever battle it may be with God, with that knowledge that you gained through those traits.
Do you did you know what virtue was before? Like when you thought of the word virtue, like I guess I kind of know the sentiment of it, but I probably can't tell you.
But when I think of virtue, like I think of movies. Like knights. Virtue, knighted.
That's just me.
Sandy, anything?
That's just me. I love that.
Like so it has something to do with, when they're knighted. I thought you meant knight. Like knight.
No. Okay, that's why you, I'm like, why are you looking at me like I'm crazy?
So no. Knighted?
Knighted.
Virtue. They have virtue.
Like standard.
Yeah.
Okay. A value? Standard value
virtue
quality,
yeah, I would say equality. I would say like equality, yeah, like a what do you think about those verses, Sandy?
I also liked verse 8.
Look at that,
when you were like, these qualities are yours and increasing, they will keep, my Bible used the word useless instead of
ineffective.
Which I was like, ooh, that kind of hurt, because you know I don't want to be called useless or unfruitful. Like, imagine like I was created to be an apple tree and I didn't grow any apples. Like, how sad of a life is that? So I mean, it's very important that we keep growing and increasing all of these different virtues and attributes that he's listed, because Otherwise, it's going to be useful, right? Yeah. Useless, right?
Yeah. I guess, yeah. So what's the holdup then? Like, what would make someone be like, I don't want that?
you make it sound so hard.
Well, I mean, I read that on Sunday, and I feel like I could have just walked off and been like, let's go do that. But it's so hard.
Yeah.
Because in the middle of all this right here, you're partakers in the divine nature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. But Jesus, man, he's God. He's Jesus. He's the Holy Spirit. He's one up on us.
He
got us by that. Yeah. And so having escaped from the corruption is an amazing part. And I don't think that we necessarily always think about that. You know, we talked about your testimony and my testimony are different, that you've been protected by a lot of things because of good parenting and lifestyles and situations and different things. And that almost made my parents sound like they weren't good. So that mine was good parenting too. I was not led in the same direction you were led in. Yeah. You know what I mean? You didn't have the same things around you. So those kind of things, and you experienced different things, and our testimonies are different. But God protected you from all of those corruption.
Yeah, corruption for sure.
So like in your mind, you might not think about that much because you didn't really ever
experience.
But for me, man, that's like a huge motivator. I'm like, oh man, it's right there.
Yeah.
Like the corruption's right across the street. Like it's literally right across the street. I can go be in corruption right now if I wanted to. And so always constantly thinking about that and motivating. I'm struggling with this. This is what I'm struggling with. I don't know if this is even on topic. When you come, do you come across as a donkey if you like keep asking for people to do, like we were talking about this kind of like maybe the sheep doesn't want to drink, mm-hmm. but like when you keep saying the same things and keep trying to persuade people, persuade's a bad word, it's not like a salesman, encourage people in holiness and godliness, mm-hmm. it makes me come to me, I hear myself sounding like a hypocrite because I'm like, I don't meet all those standards either. And I wonder if others hear that. Have you ever? Maybe not me, but just in general, when a preacher or someone is trying to share, you're like, man.
Have I, like felt convicted?
No. No, you felt convicted. We all have done that. Okay. Like, have you felt like, who are you? Like.
Actually, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know if people even think that.
I can see that. I mean, in a sense, you're human, so it's like, shouldn't. I shouldn't hold you to being the one watching. I shouldn't hold you to a standard of like, oh, he's holier than thou.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if I'm saying I'm holier than thou. I'm saying like by me telling you, you should be more holy. Mm. How does that make me come across? Because that's my call. My call is to tell you, right. Like, yeah, that was awesome, everything you did, but you know, you could do this a little more. And do you just see the importance in this right here? A little more. And how many times can I do that before Emmanuel goes, whoa? Dude, who, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, in general, as we're trying to reach the world, how many times can I go to the high school? How many times can I go to these places and be Russell or Pastor Russell and say these things before people are going to be like, okay, we heard, like you said, I heard you. You're becoming a little bit annoying now. That's an internal battle.
I think it is, but at the same time, I think God calls you to, you ask you that question. You ask that question, but one more time.
Yeah.
One more time.
That's what Jesus says. Like,
that's the hard part. It's like, all right, I know the. All right, God, I've been here for the last five weeks preaching the same message. Well, maybe not the same message, but pretty much the same
thing.
Yeah. And I know I'm tired of hearing it myself. So I know they're tired. But I think that's what God. I know.
It's in we'll
keep going.
It's in the longevity of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's out, who's listening too at the same time.
At all.
I think it's like. It's not that we have to meet, we're never going to meet that standard ever, but it's the effort part of doing. That's why it's like, that's why it's important that he says to stay diligent, because the word diligent itself, it's like you have to have put in, it's a conscious effort. Like, you actually have to think about it, and you actually have to put in the work to like, do it. And I think we, in our, like, positions that we have, especially, like, being pastor, maybe we don't see the effort, and that's why we're pushing so much to be like, hey, maybe, come on, do this, do that. And then it starts to sound like a clanging cymbal every time. But it's because I don't know, maybe you just want to see them strive to be more, like put more effort into just being better, like bettering yourselves. And I don't know, because you said it on in your sermon, you said it's easy to not be diligent about it when you aren't in a position where you have to be. Pastors.
Yeah, that did say
that's
that.
What you have to do. So I get it, but like it's not an excuse to not do these things, to not be
just because you're not in a position
like knowledgeable and to not have self control. Like it's not an excuse just because you're not in a position to be.
So. I would not have remembered I said that because that wasn't written down. That just came out. That's one of those things that went on paper. I'm glad you remembered that though because that was true. I have to be diligent. Like. Mm-hmm. But I think, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say, I think if I wasn't in this position, I'd be diligent, but I wouldn't. I already know. I wouldn't be. I already know. I already know. I think that's what it is, though, Sandy. Like, I don't want to be a jerk, but honestly just want to be like your wise person leading you and telling you, look, I went down that road and experienced all those things, and I'm trying to tell you it's not worth it. Like, I know you could have this and that, and all that is good, but it's, like, not the thing. And I'm trying to tell you I know the thing, and, like, you can experience the thing. Yeah. It's just a Monday.
Yeah.
I told him I'm not even, like, upset by anything today. I'm just really trying to
find the encouragement.
Find the encouragement and also find the, like what you just said, the perseverance. Mm. You just keep one more time.
Yeah, the one more. Yeah.
One more time. More. You don't know who's listening. You don't know who's going to wait for that one word that you didn't even remember you said and now and you remembered it. So, yeah, it's those kind of things. And that's what he's saying here. I love to stay diligent to confirm your calling and election. Like, you are, God elected you. Like, you are appointed. You are called to be above the riffraff.
Yeah.
And once we are the riffraff and He escalates us and elevates us from there, and we're to live as such. And I asked Sean earlier, I was like, "What? Why don't people just see that we're so much more powerful together than we are apart? Why do we fight so hard to be apart? Like we just fight so hard to be apart. I don't even know that we know we're fighting to be apart. It's just like
is that a conscious? No,
it's not a conscious. Well maybe
it's maybe in some cases,
but it's just a. I don't know.
It's a desire to be.
I'm going in around this circle, and I'll stop now. But I keep going around this circle where I want to hold them to the standard, and I know that people are people, and then it's this and that, and then, you know, those kind of things. And then it's like, I think what God is teaching me is what Sandy just so wisely brought out from nowhere, that he has calmed the storm a billion times in my life. And the man is just trying to take a nap. and he's looking for me to be faithful and keep just trying to preach to his sheep. Mm. And whatever that looks like, response-wise, whatever that looks like, emotional-wise, my grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
And you know, as the pastor, I'm always learning, bro. Like, I never have it figured out. Like, even when I think I have it figured out a little bit, I wake up. Like, yesterday, I would have said I had it figured out. Like, I was doing, like, yesterday was a, it was a chill day. Mm. And I woke up this morning and I didn't have it figured out. You know, it was like different.
It was an eclipse day. So, you
know. Well, it was an eclipse day. That's what got retrograde. Me, man.
Everything's upside down today.
No, I think
what's in retrograde? Mercury?
I don't know.
Yeah, Mercury is in retrograde. And
no, right? I think you're allotted those opportunities to be searching for encouragement.
Yeah.
I think it's important for everybody to realize, well, your pastor. Just because he's the pastor doesn't mean he's perfect.
Yeah.
He's human too, and he has human.
And I hope
emotions.
People. And I just want people to see where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Like where it's not coming from me saying I'm this and you should be that. It's coming from I've experienced good and I want you to also. And like that's what I'm saying in a lot of different ways is I want that to come across. And I hope that is what's coming across. But you never know what people are taking away. Sandy took away something that I'd never even thought about before earlier, and now she's got me thinking about a whole nother thing from my sermon. So it was like, you never know, bro.
You never know.
And so it's an interesting world we're in.
The most important thing is that everyone just continues to have faith. Like, that's all you can ask for in your sheep. You know what I mean? Continue to trust in the one who's got it figured out.
Yeah.
Like, all these traits that we're talking about in this verse. I love that it says it's to supplement your faith. Like, you can have faith and not have these things, but these things are going to help supplement the faith. Like, supplement faith with goodness. You don't know, like we talked about, I think on Wednesday, the reality of things. Like you don't know. You we have faith, but when you live and experience goodness, more faith. Like you have way more faith because you've experienced it. So supplementing your faith with goodness is only gonna help. And then supplementing goodness with knowledge is only gonna help. Like I think I use the analogy of like I go to the gym, and of course we all have muscles naturally, but if you wanna build muscle, you're gonna have to work out. You have to go to the gym. But there's comes a point where you plateau and you might need some help. So I personally take creatine, because creatine helps like build the muscle. And so the creatine is the supplement to my muscles, just like faith or goodness is a supplement to my faith. And so it kind of works like that. That's the only way I can think about it, because it's just how my I put that's it into an analogy. But
I like that. And I was stuck on the word plateau, because I think that that's where I find a lot of people, and I think that's where people are. So in your spiritual walk, then, let's say that, and you plateaued. Like, there's no more classes I can go to. Mm-hmm. For you to, like, literally, you could sit in how many more classes and hear about Jesus and whatever. You know
all the stories.
You've heard every story there is in the Bible. Maybe every time it's good to hear and refresh yourself, but you basically... So now, what's the next step for that person? That's what I'm trying to get to. What, and that's a question I'm asking you. I'm not just... So the person that's plateaued. So then, what does Jesus call that? Do you go to now?
I think it's like they have to also know that they've hit a plateau, and now do something to keep going. Because I was talking.
How about, do you know you've hit a plateau when you're working out?
When I'm not seeing any more growth, like I'm currently hitting a plateau. Like I keep doing the same workout and nothing's growing. So I'm gonna have to add more weights, or I'm gonna have to add, you know, my diet needs to be different or something. Like I have to consciously know that I'm plateauing in order to continue to do things, put in the effort to go up more. And I was talking about this with Heather actually on our car ride back from the retreat. I was talking to her about like everything in my life is so good right now. Like there's nothing to complain about. Life's great. My job's great. Nara's job's great. Like everything is just working out great. And then I'm just like, I don't know what's next. Like, what is next? Because I think that's important in your life to always think about that. Yeah. Because I don't know if it's just me, but I always think about, okay, I'm done here. What's my next season in life? Yeah. What next? You have to ask yourself, what is next? That way you can grow.
I think that's wise, but I would say the majority of people probably are not thinking that way.
I think that's a youthful thing, because I get that. Because I'm like...
Yeah, but I think that you two are... Okay.
I mean,
we're different.
We're different, but...
You're obviously different. I mean, you... What did you call yourself? A special breed? What did you call yourself?
Oh, rare breed.
Rare breed.
You're rare breed.
I'm bringing that back.
What'd you just throw up?
Hashtag.
I thought you were throwing money.
No, I thought she did her town down. I didn't know what she was doing.
We both
hashtag rare breed.
Yes, you guys. I would say that though. You guys are a rare breed, and like, I mean, maybe more younger people are thinking about the next season in life. But I think you're wise. Like, I don't know that I did that, but I was like not. I don't know. I'm trying to think back when I was younger. So long ago now, can hardly remember it. But that is wise. So what is next? Like, what is God? You don't know yet.
I don't
you're
know.
Just like, what is next? Yeah,
because I asked that, for maybe Heather can give me some kind of wise counsel, or like, you know, what does she think I could do next?
Yeah.
So. It's just.
Did she come out like
a sage? Did she give you a good answer?
I was gonna say, did she come out like a sage and give you something? And did she say, "Whoa, that's crazy"?
No, not really. But it was more of like talking about maybe going to school again, or maybe maybe the next season is having kids.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
But
right.
Wherever that's gonna be.
There's a progression, and yeah. So I mean, I think if you magnify that to our positions here, we're thinking also what's next, because like for real, because like church is functioning. I've said this before. We can keep functioning.
Yeah.
Almost. Financially, maybe not, but we can keep functioning. But that's not the call. It's like constantly be growing. And so I was trying to get to the point of when you plateau spiritually, I think when you've been to every class and learned all you can learn, then now you have to go, like, put it into action. Mm. You have to go serve in some way. You either have to now go be a teacher, go be a helper, go be a this or that. But people have to see you growing, and then you got to start bringing people with you. You know what I mean? And I think that's where we're lacking right now. I think I have people. I don't have anybody. I think Jesus has people right here that are, like, at that point where they're, like, they basically know it all. They won't say they know it all because that's pride, and they don't want to do that, and I get it. They know it all, and they could be doing so much more, and that was back to the, here's the water, drink it. Like, that's the thing you got, and I think that's what I'm trying to learn, and Jesus is teaching me through this, is, like, more, we always say that when you ask for volunteers or you do something, when you just give the call like this, like, anybody want to help with this? Very few people come. Mm-hmm. But if I come and say, Emmanuel, will you help me cut the grass? Sandy, will you help me put up the speaker? You guys would help me like that. And so people respond to immediate things, like direct things, quicker. And so I think that I'm going to try to put that into practice. Just have the conversations with people and say, hey, this thing right here, I think that's your thing. What do you think? Just to see, you know, just to see if they've even been thinking about it. And maybe they'll say, oh, you know what? That was I've been thinking about that too, and blah 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 blah. So who knows? I don't know, but just trying to, because you can't.
It might be the push they need.
It may be.
Yeah.
Or maybe the push they need from me to tell me back off.
That's
and
true.
So either way it works.
It's no loss. Either way.
There's no loss.
Yeah.
You know I care. You know I think there's something for you. You don't feel the same way. Cool.
Now
I still love you. Let's rock.
Yeah.
There's another person. Because, like, if I leave tomorrow, Jesus brings somebody else here. If E-Man moves to Texas to live with his brother, he brings somebody else here. You know, it's like, we're just pods in the thing. We're just going around, and Jesus can do his own thing. So what's next for Mount Zion? Keep grinding. Keep going.
Keep looking for that next one. I was looking, what was the word I gave you? Come on, man. What was the word I gave you?
I don't know where we're jumping to, though. I don't know what part of the conversation, the word. Yeah, someone's out there. Sean knows it. She heard it. Because she always
heard it.
She always tells me afterwards. She was like, I was telling you all was this.
But no, I think we as a church have to continue to find that encouragement to keep going.
Yeah.
Even though individually, maybe, like, I'm burnt out. Mm-hmm. And some people may be. But keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. The day ends. Wake up.
Because I think that any church pastor, any person in a leadership position, with the success that we've had, like with everything going on at Mount Zion, whether it's women's events, young adults events, pickleball, volleyball, all of the above, you would be like, oh, that's pretty awesome. Yeah. You know, that's pretty awesome. And so I guess you just want to, it's hard to balance, like, wanting to go more and just be content with where you are.
Yeah.
Paul said, I know what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have a little, and I've learned to be content in both places. And, like, I know what it's like to have a little. I have yet to experience what it's like to have a lot. I'm learning to be content in the middle. I'm trying. There's a delicate balance between wanting more and being content.
Yeah.
If that's you want more for the right reasons, is it okay? You don't have to be content?
If it's in the will of the Lord.
What was the word you said we learned? Righteous anger?
Please.
We were talking about that. And so you're like, I'm angry, but it's for a good reason.
Right.
So I can be righteous about it.
I don't know if you're using that in the correct
term. Oh, man. But honestly, I'm with Sandy. My life is really good. Mount Zion's life is good. We're doing well, and we're just, like, trying to get it out of these walls. That's my main thing. I want to get it out to the people. Your time is limited to get it out to the peoples. Just hard to get it out there. And so we pray that God would bring them to us, that he would put us in contact with people that would put them in front of us, and that we are going in love, that they were not clinging. And I think that if we did a survey, they would say, no, you're not a clanging cymbal. Like, guys are not. Like, you guys are, we get it. But, you know, you just want it to, you want to make sure. I think every now and then it's good to have a self-evaluation of where you are in your leadership spot, and, like, I don't know, just to recalibrate, make sure it's all good.
Reboot.
It just seems like, Sandy, like, my recalibrations happen way too often, I feel like.
It's once a month for us. Recalibrate.
I just can't get into a zone and just be there for a long time. It's like I keep, and I guess it's because they used to say this, and I didn't like it. I don't remember who used to say it, but it was like, Sunday's coming. Like, Sunday's right there. And so I'm constantly thinking about the next Sunday, the next Sunday, the next Sunday. And, man, you never get to be, like, in this Monday.
Yeah, right.
Because you got to think about this Sunday and all those things. So it's just a challenge, but it's a great challenge. So I embrace it. We run into the future with confidence. Definitely. We run the race with perseverance. Amen. Because the scripture says we run it for what? Come on, please. You got it.
Run the race.
What's he say we run the race for, Sandy? A crown that's never
broken.
Broken.
Perishing, bro. Yeah, same. So we run it for this crown.
Where's it from?
Reference.
Oh, man. Paul.
No, Paul, that's not.
I don't know. Romans, somewhere.
Oh. Come on,
Sean.
Man. Sean. We're waiting on Google. The text.
It's in there. Google it real quick. This we run the race for this. It says, "Look, all athletes train and like do these things." Verse. Yeah. But anyway, so that's what we're doing. It. We're running that race because we know that that crown is imperishable. We know that crown, like y'all said, can't be broken, and it's going to be amazing. And so, any luck, Emmanuel?
Yeah, you version didn't help me out.
So bypass that. Yeah. It's all good. So what, closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts. Stay encouraged. Keep running the race. it's a marathon, not a race. Well, it's a race. It's a marathon.
Marathon is a race.
Slow and steady wins the pace. So.
The tortoise and the hare.
There you go. But no, stay encouraged. I mean, it's gonna be ups and downs. But,
yeah, and we're in an up. Yeah. That's the thing. We're in an up.
For sure.
And so we got to – that's what I want to keep – I was telling Sean or someone today, like, I just want to be up because everything is up.
I want to be up.
I want to be up.
Yeah.
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 I just want to be up in general. So it's
– definitely.
Spirits up are always better.
Stay encouraged.
What you got, Sandy? Closing thoughts? Jerry Springer, you have closing thoughts or whatever?
Just self-evaluate yourself.
Self-evaluate yourself.
See where you are
in life. Be self-aware.
Be self-aware.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you are where you want to be in life, maybe you need to push yourself and
change.
Do something about it. You got to grow.
Got to
grow. Can't be an apple tree that doesn't grow apples.
You got to grow. Don't plateau.
Ooh.
Word.
Hashtag.
Hit me with it.
Hashtag.
So, yes, we're going to grow. So this is my challenge for you two this for week then and everyone. Listen, if you have plateaued in any area of your life, then I want you to take the next step, whatever that is. If you've plateaued in worship and like songs are so easy and we just show up and do it now, then let's add another element. If you've plateaued to where I'm more than just showing up to church, I can be this, then let's go to the next level. And then everyone listening, like, because I think when we start taking those steps, we will start to see even more the hand of God just moving and working through us and adding to our numbers. Like, I could care less about our numbers, but the more numbers we have, the more influence we're having in the community is the way I see it.
Definitely.
And, you know, it's just we got to get it out there. And so I know God wants it out there. I know Jesus is just trying to chill out in the boat and just tell us to have faith. And so if we could just keep the faith for a little while longer,
yeah.
Jesus got it all figured out. So we love you guys. Subscribe, like, share. Pretend like Uriah was on this episode. Whatever you got to do to get the word out there. We need a blue hippo comment. Need a blue hippo comment.
Drop the blue hippo.
Blue hippo. Something like that. Man, get it out there. But we appreciate you guys. It's still 2 weeks from now, right? Sandy's going on a vacay.
Woo-woo.
Let's go.
Didn't you just
go
for a vacay?
No, that's a retreat. That wasn't a vacation. Yeah. She had to work. She had to sing songs.
Yeah, man.
So, Pete, have fun on your vacation, Emmanuel. Relax. It's almost over. Right. It's almost there. Until then, stay prayed up.